Good morning and welcome this morning to Main Street United Methodist Church on such a wonderful, beautiful Sunday morning. If you are a visitor, we want to extend a very special welcome to you. We want you to know that you are always welcome here at Main Street. If you're a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street as a possibility for that church home. And if you'll give us your address and phone number as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, that will allow us to have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So now, if you would please pass those attendance pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. Reminder that our gathering series continues this Wednesday evening with the meal beginning at 5:15 and the program at 6 o'clock. Again, you have two possible options for the program. One will be a program entitled Parenting on Point, and the second is a book study led by Reverend Dennis, The Language of God, A Scientist Presents Evidence for Belief. So if you would like to make reservations, please call the church office and let them know that you will be attending the gatherings this week. Also, on October the 7th, there will be the beginning of a short 8-week disciple study entitled Invitation to the Old Testament. That will be on Sunday evenings from 6 until 7:30. If you have participated in disciple, you know that those are about 2.5 hours each and last for about 32 weeks. So this is a chance for you to get an introduction to that. It's only an 8-week session for 1.5 hours each Sunday evening. Glenn Williams and Kit Atkins will be facilitating that. If you would like to participate, please contact the church office by October the 2nd. They need to order books for that, and the books are $9 a piece. So if you would contact them and let them know if you need a book for that. Also on October the 7th will be our first ever Family Bike Fellowship. We're partnering with the Greenwood ARP Church on this, and the starting point for the ride will be Mount Lebanon Church on Highway 34 near 96. There'll be rides of three different lengths for peoples of different biking capabilities. So please make plans, get your bikes out, get them all oiled up and ready for that bike ride on October the 7th. Please call the church office and pre-register so they'll know how many to expect for that. Also, Lee Robards, our congregational nurse, she has done this morning bone density test screening and will be doing that also this Wednesday from 4 until 7 o'clock p.m. And if you cannot make it during that time period, you can call her for an appointment. She will be available to do those on Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. Now let us prepare our hearts for worship.
Please stand and join me in the call to worship. Give thanks to God, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. Let us worship God.
Be seated. And I'll ask you to join me in our invocation. O Comforter in sorrow, we are so in need of prayer. We do not know how to be good stewards of your world. We invade one another's space. We disrespect and reduce to rubble the contributions of our elders. We fight with our neighbors and waste one another's possessions. We squander our inheritance and abuse our powers. Over and over we seem to disregard what is holy until it is too late. This morning, Lord, show us what we need to mourn more deeply. Cut through our denial so that we can heal. Lord, we ask this even though we may hate to cry or find it hard to respect tears. We pray through Jesus Christ, our Comforter and Lord. Amen. I ask you to take note of the special insert for infant baptism and open that as we call forward the Clauber family and Wyatt Samuel. Teresa, if you'll come forward just a little bit. Okay. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All this is God's gift offered to us without price. I present Wyatt Samuel Clauber for baptism. Jim, Teresa, on behalf of the whole church, I ask you, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin?
We do.
Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression, and whatever forms they present themselves?
We do.
Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in His grace, and promise to serve Him as your Lord, in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races?
We do.
Will you nurture Wyatt in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life?
We will.
And now, congregation, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ?
We do.
Will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include Wyatt now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround Wyatt with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his trust of God and be found faithful in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. Let us all join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church,
the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
May the Lord be with you.
Also,
let us pray. Eternal Father, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Tell of God's mercy each day. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Declare his works to all nations, his glory among all the people. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water, and he who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness, and throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal Father, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you in the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen. Samuel, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, I ask all the family members, if you'd like to come around and lay hands upon him for the blessing. He's still not very good at holding babies. Wyatt, the Holy Spirit work within you. Wyatt, the Holy Spirit work within you that having been born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And now, Main Street, it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Through baptism, he is incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus. With joy and thanksgiving, we welcome him as a member of the family of Christ. Members of the household of God, I commend Wyatt Samuel to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love as members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church. We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, and our service, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Now the God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Amen. As we come to our time of prayer, I have some few special concerns I'd like to lift up. We would like to be in prayer for Ken Flincham, for Sally Sprott, for Joyce Bartless. We have also been asked to pray for Clay Eubanks. I ask you to pray for my mother, who faces hip surgery in just a few weeks. And we We'll give you pause during our prayer time to lift up your own private prayers of thanksgiving, confession, and prayers for guidance. Let us pray. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, for this beautiful day, for this gathering place, for this family of supportive fellowship and faith in Jesus Christ, we give you thanks. We work and worry for so many things. Remind us that your grace is enough. We accept your forgiveness and love for ourselves, but sometimes are slow to forgive those who sin against us. Remind us that your grace is enough not for our sins only, but also to cover the sins of others. We thank you for giving us what we could not earn. And give us wisdom not to work or worry over that which cannot save. You, Lord, you are above all else. You, Lord, creator of all there is from nothing, sustainer of all there is even when we have gone astray. Your mercy and kindness, your forbearance and patience astounds us. We have grown in our faith. You have sustained us by your Spirit. Give us grace and power to grow even closer. Lord, we have grown in our compassion for others. Help us grow even more. We have grown in our obedience to your word. Help us grow even more. And we pray now for those who claim the name and grace of Jesus Christ everywhere, who seek to do your will, who rejoice in your great salvation. Lord, we also pray for the leaders of the nations of this world, that they be more open to the influence of your Spirit. And we do pray for one another, and for those who doubt, and for those who grieve, and for those who stand in the middle of options and have so many difficult decisions to make. Lord, give us that calm, that peace, that wisdom, that peace that passes all human understanding, the presence of your Spirit, and guide us from where we are to a point that is closer to you and to your embrace. Lord, hear now the prayers of our hearts as we lift them up before you in silence. Yes, Lord, hear our prayers. For we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I'd like to ask our acolytes and our crucifers to come forward for recognition.
I've asked Jo Patterson to join me up here. She serves as the coordinator of our acolyte moms. If you are serving in your position for the first time, I want you down here. But if you've already served, I want you back here with us. And you can find your name. I have little cheat notes up here, so you can find your name. You got that one? Go down there. Right down at the other end, Charlie. Next time. Okay, I think here comes Charlie. We have a wonderful group of children and youth that are willing to serve as acolytes and crucifers. I believe we have 10 crucifers all together and 11 acolytes. This is a great tribute to these children's families because they get them here for the practice that we do and the training, and then they are here when they need to serve. We talk a lot in training about how this is an important part of the worship service. The worship service starts when those candles are lit during that procession. So our acolytes and crucifers are a very important part of our service on a week-to-week basis. This morning we had a little bit of an issue. Our lights went out, and they stood up here, and they were nervous, but they handled it, and everything was okay, and somebody came and rescued them. Thanks to Leanne's dad, Carl, came and rescued them. But if you ever see these children as they're serving, tell them what a good job they're doing. It's not easy to be up here in front of everybody. Trust me, I'm one of those people who's very uncomfortable doing this. So they do a great job, and they are very consistent and very dedicated to what they do. Our new acolytes to serve this year who have not served before are Julia Baker, Joe Hartung, Isabella Jones, and Leanne Punt. And Charlie has, you are already, this is her second year. I had her in the wrong place. She is a veteran. Our acolytes that are returning to duty are Megan Castro, Townsend Air Jones, Jay Logan, Skylar McGinnis, Jackson Nichols, Jones Pendergrass. We give our acolytes a wooden cross to wear when they serve. So those of you who have served before, if you would give the new acolytes their cross and hang it around their neck. And you will wear these when it is your turn to serve. Our returning crucifers are Josie Adams, Scurry Charles, Rakeem Childs, Nick Nichols, and Haley Rogers. And our new crucifers are Josie Adams. That's not right. John Castro, Abby Dent, Carly Rogers, Jacob Stockman, and Heron Warner. So if you all will make sure you give Abby hers too, since there's only two of you up here. And I also wanted to mention that we have six moms, well, five under the direction of Joe, that help meet these crucifers and acolytes each Sunday morning at the closet to make sure that they know what they're supposed to do and get them dressed properly. They are Cindy Logan, Carrie Punt, Karen Dent, Allie Williams, and Debbie Tharp serves as a sub. So we appreciate your service, and thank you for being willing to be here. Cindy Logan, did I not? I did. I think I did. Thank you all. You can sit down. It's time for children's time, so all the other children can come join these up here for children's time with Steve Skinner. If someone would bring the offering plate, the children bring their offering to the front, since a lot of the preschoolers are not in here. And we have an offering plate coming up after extended session. I mean, after children's time, preschoolers can leave for extended session, and first graders can leave to go with me for worship readiness. And Sophie has our offering plate. Does anybody have any offering? Right here. There she is. Come on up, Sophie, so people can get to you.
Good morning. It's a big group this morning. This is great. Fantastic. This is going to be fun because I'm going to get all of y'all to participate in a little demonstration, so it's going to take a little time. But before we do our demonstration, I want to give a little background so I don't get in trouble with all the adults out there. Jesus taught us many things, but one of the things he taught us was that the two greatest commandments, one was to love God and the other is to love each other. And that's very important to remember. Reverend Dennis works that into just about every sermon he does, so it's very important to remember that. Jesus also talked a lot about rich people and about money, and if you read what he says, sometimes you might think he doesn't like rich people from the way he talks about them in the Bible, but I don't think that's true. I think it's more of how they respond to his commandments to love God and to love each other that he's talking about. Good morning. This is one of the special things about doing children's time. So I'm going to kind of blend those two teachings a little bit in a way that might get me in trouble if I don't explain it. I'm going to kind of use money to kind of represent God's love, but I don't want you to get the misunderstanding that God loves us by giving us money or that money is equal to God's love or anything like that. But I'm going to use it just as a demonstration of God's love so we can talk about it. So I'm actually going to give every one of y'all, I hope, a dollar. Everyone. You want to give them out?
Yeah.
You can give them all out, Jim. And everyone gets a dollar, and that's how God's love is. Everybody gets God's love. It's for everybody.
You're rich, huh?
But I got a couple questions for you about this dollar. Have any of y'all been to my house and done any work for me, cut the grass, trim the hedges that I owe you this money for? No? Okay. And have I borrowed any money from any of y'all that I forgot to pay back that I owed you this money for? No? Well, this is kind of like God's love. He gives it to us because he loves us. He loved us before we were ever first born. But he doesn't give it to us because we did anything that he owes us his love for or that he's in debt to us for anything. And when he gives us this money, it's his love. He gives us this love to do whatever we want to with it. So we could take his love, represented by this dollar bill, and we could take it home and put it under our mattress in a book or in a bank and just keep it and not share it, not do anything with it. And I think that's kind of what sometimes the rich people did. They kind of built up their money and they didn't share it and they didn't thank God for it. And they started thinking that they were being blessed by God because of who they were. And they started loving their money more than God and they started loving themselves more than God. So maybe that's not the best thing to do with it in this little demonstration we're doing. You could take that money, it's yours if now, and as God's love, you could buy something with it or trade it for something else. And I think sometimes some of us do that. We decide that there may be something else in this world that maybe we value more. And maybe sometimes we mistakenly exchange God's love for love of something else. So none of those sound like good things to do with this love of God. So what do you think God would want us to do with his love as demonstrated by this money? What he told us to do was love one another and to love him. And how do we do that? By sharing God's love with one another. So here's where I want you to help me out. I want you to show everybody in this congregation how we share God's love with everybody. So if you want to participate and want to share God's love, I'd like each of you to take your dollar representing God's love and give it to someone else in this church. Someone you don't know, some of the adults. And we need to do it quickly. Some are exchanging. They're pretty smart. They say, I'll give you mine, you give me yours, and we'll be sharing God's love. What I'd like you to do is actually get up and take your God's love and share it with somebody in the congregation. And when you give it to them, tell them God loves you. Do it quickly and come back. And if you don't want to share God's love, you don't have to. But if you want to. And those of y'all that are receiving God's love from our children, this is God's love given freely to you, and you're free to do what you want to as well. Hopefully, and hopefully you will use it to share God's love with others. No, okay. That's okay. All right. All right. Was it tough sharing God's love? Too many people? Too many people to love. Okay. And they all wanted God's love. Well, hopefully you felt good sharing God's love. Hopefully those that you shared it with felt good about receiving it. And hopefully they will share God's love with others. Okay. Let everybody say a prayer with me now, please. Dear God, thank you for loving us. Help your love to grow in us. And help us to share your love with others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. Now let us share God's love by passing the peace. I didn't get a dollar. I didn't get a dollar. That's good.
Peace. I'm going to lead the choir. So.
Good. Very good. Thank you.
The reading today is from Jeremiah, the 8th chapter, the 18th verse through the 9th chapter and the 1st verse. My joy is gone. Grief is upon me. My heart is sick. Hark, the cry of my poor people from far and wide in the land. Is the Lord not in Zion? Is her king not in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their images, with their foreign idols? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of my people, I am hurt. I mourn, and dismay has taken hold of me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then has the health of my poor people not been restored? Oh, that my head were a spring of water, and my eyes a fountain of tears, so that I might weep day and night. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Amen.
The epistle reading comes from 1 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, the 1st through the 7th verses. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings should be made for everyone, for kings, and for all who are in high positions, so that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and dignity. This is right and is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires everyone to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God. There is also one mediator between God and humankind, Christ Jesus himself, human, who gave himself a ransom for all. This was attested at the right time. For this I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying. A teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts. Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes and returns unto your house. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
My walls are now so tall.
I share with you now the gospel reading from Luke, the 16th chapter, one of the more difficult parables you will find in the New Testament. Then Jesus said to the disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I have decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. And I tell you, make friends for yourselves by means of dishonest wealth so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into the eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in a very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust to you the true riches? And if you have not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There was once a golfer with just about my golf skills. I've played four times in my entire life. And he set up the ball, and he made a mighty swing, and he missed, and he kicked up a clump of grass about the size of a man's toupee. If anyone's wearing a toupee, lift it up so we can see. And he killed 100 ants. He set up the ball again, he got ready to swing, and then he hit on the other side of the ball, kicking up another clump of grass and killing another couple of 100 ants. And as he drew back the club to take one more swing, one ant said to another, "We'd better get on the ball." Get on the ball. This is one of the messages in Jesus' parable about the dishonest steward. This is one of the most difficult and confusing of all Jesus' parables. We read it and we ask ourselves, what was that about? Even St. Augustine said, "I can't believe this story came from the lips of our Lord." But he is not telling us to be dishonest. He is using this story to tell us, get on the ball, be decisive, take action, be shrewd, just as shrewd in spiritual wealth and influence as worldly people are shrewd, serving and scrambling for earthly wealth. There's one point. But the Wall Street Journal has a quote in it once, an anonymous quote. It said, "Money is an article which may be used as a universal passport to everywhere except heaven, and a universal provider for everything except happiness. It is a wonderful tool to make things happen, but a terrible master, which will suck the spiritual life and the compassion for others out of your soul if you serve it." Jesus seems to be saying, serve God with all the shrewdness and energy that some poor souls serve only money. Now, how was this dishonest steward shrewd? Well, he was being fired because he mismanaged his manager's property. Now, he mismanages money and never considers prayer, never considers confession, never considers begging for mercy. He only considers the power of money. Dishonestly using money again when he had already misused it and gotten himself fired in the first place. The only power he seems to know about is the power of money. So he dishonestly tries to buy himself some friends, by forgiving large portions of debt owed to his master. Now the dishonesty comes in because it was not his debt to forgive. But he thought, I don't want to do any physical work. I want to cruise on the kindness of others. So I'm going to buy me some friends. He makes friends by reducing their debt. And he's really triple shrewd because he has them, if you read it carefully, in their own handwriting, reduce their debt, making them complicit in the dishonesty if and when he is caught. And when the dishonest man's master found out about it, it seems that he had to smile and commend the man on his cleverness. Now, you have to think about it to really see why. The people whose debts were reduced did not know that he was cutting their debt without the master's permission. And so they went home smiling at what a wonderful, generous man the master was. And there was no way then that the master of the parable could go back and reinstate the full debt without wiping the smile off their faces and looking like a greedy, miserly Scrooge. That dishonest steward had bought himself some friends on the way out being fired by forgiving debts that were not his own, and did it in such a way that even his master could not undo it without looking bad himself. Wow. It reminds me of a story that I read that's supposed to be true. When Henry Ford visited Ireland way back in the 30s, two local trustees of a hospital met him and they talked Henry Ford into giving $5,000 to the hospital. Well, the next morning in the paper, it said on a headline, American millionaire gives $50,000 to local hospital. Well, Ford immediately summoned the two hospital trustees and he said, what does this mean? And they apologized profusely. They said it was a dreadful error and they said that they would print a retraction on the front page the very next day, declaring that Henry Ford had not given $50,000 but only $5,000. Well, that didn't sound good. So Ford sighed and he went ahead and he offered them another $45,000 under one condition, that they would erect a marble archway on the front door and he could decide a scripture verse to put on it. And that is what he did. It read, I was a stranger and you took me in. Now think with me, and I think you'll find the key to this difficult parable. What sort of wealth do we have from God that could buy us friends on earth and in heaven and make God, our master, look good at the same time? What of great value do we hold in our power that we can give to others and make it a win-win-win situation for everyone? Ourselves, our friends, and God. Hold on to that question. If we are wise and shrewd, we will be quick to use the true wealth, the true power that we hold for the good of others and for God. Now, speaking of shrewd, I found this recently, and it is a wonderful illustration of being shrewd. True story. Jay Wilkinson, son of the famous Oklahoma football coach Bud Wilkinson. Jay was an All-American football star at Duke, back when Duke had a football team. And Jay ran for Congress years ago, and everyone thought he had it in the bag. Here's his resume. Jay Wilkinson, All-American at Duke, married a Miss America finalist, graduated from Harvard Divinity School, young, handsome, idealistic, the perfect candidate. Well, there was a television commercial that they ran, and it was designed and it had a picture of Jay and his wife, and they were walking hand in hand through an Oklahoma pasture. And as they walked, they were looking soulfully upward at the sky to an accompanying tune of soft music that ran with soft music in the background and a banner that ran across the bottom, a better tomorrow for all Oklahomans. Here's the shrewdness. The incumbent, Tom Steed, he was a good old country boy, and he scheduled just one 40-second commercial answer to Wilkinson's commercial. He looks straight in the camera, nothing fancy, no music, no background, and he said, "I may not have a fancy degree from Harvard like young Wilkinson, but I do know enough not to look up at the sky when I'm walking in a cow pasture." Steed won by not giving up or giving in to the perfect candidate. Steed won with cleverness. There are people who reject the spiritual wealth that we have and hold. Do we just give up? Do we just give up? Or might there be more clever and more determined ways to share what we have from God, which is more valuable than money? We're facing a crisis in the church, and I don't mean just this church or this denomination. I mean the Christian church. If we keep the defeatist attitude that many church members have across the country, where we just maintain and not even really plan to grow, but just try to maintain and not lose too many members, then, and young people drifting away, and career-focused people, they drift away too busy in their careers, and long-time members often lose focus on why we exist, but instead internally just maintain their congregation. If we keep doing that, we will continue to die instead of going and making disciples, which is our marching order. We must reclaim what it is that is worthy to work for and spend for and serve with our whole lives. There's an ancient story of some Roman gladiators who almost converted to Christianity. They understood the water for baptism, understood that conversion meant complete ownership of all they were and all they had for God. And as they went under, the legend says, many of them lifted their sword hand high above the water and left it unbaptized. They gave all that they were to God except their sword hand. That they kept for themselves. Many Christians give all that they have to God except their talents, except their time, except their checkbooks. Lord, I am completely yours, almost. Consider the most valuable thing you have to share. Is it really money? The most valuable thing you possess to make friends with, is it really money? The greatest riches you have from God, is it really money? I do not believe that this parable is only about money. Far from it. There is something much deeper and more profound here. If you use money only for yourself or puff yourself up and serve yourself, then yes, Jesus did say, you've had your reward already, that's all you get. And if you want to think about it just in terms of money, when you're dead and your money is gone, that's it. Friends you made with money move on. Friends you made with money, you won't see them again, they won't see you again, they won't think of you again. Relationships based on money end when the money goes away. But if you use it as a tool to show what you really value, the spreading of God's love and forgiveness, the gospel of Jesus Christ, to the downcast, the outcast, the doubters, the unforgiven, the forgotten, even your enemies, to share the love and forgiveness and eternal hope of Christ, then you make true friends for yourself and for God. Because when you value what God in Christ has done for you and pass it on to others, you are truly serving God. You are truly making friends for yourself and God. Friends you will see later in your heavenly home. To me, that is the only way this parable makes sense. To use and share with cleverness and shrewdness and determination and energy the wealth that belongs to your true master, the riches of forgiveness and grace. And you make friends forever with others and with God. The God who loves and forgives and wants to be in relationship with us forever. But it all starts now and is reflected in how you use your money and your time and your talents and who you are. And I shouldn't even say your money, because you do not have any money. It starts with how you use God's money and the gifts that God has given you and the talents God has given you and every day of life which God has given you. And whether your actions show a shrewd understanding of your complete dependence upon God and His grace. Just as the dishonest steward showed a shrewd understanding of what money can do in the short term, let us use it only as one more tool to share our true riches, God's love, forgiveness, and grace. because of Jesus. We do have permission to write off the debts of others and forgive them what they owe us. In fact, we have a command to forgive others their debts, just as we have been forgiven. We have true riches and instructions to make friends out of enemies. How? By forgiving them. Friends we can then see in eternity. How? By convincing them with the way we use God's gifts that the gospel is true and them accepting it for themselves. You know, an enormously rich man once complained to a psychiatrist that despite his great wealth, he was miserable. The psychiatrist took the man over to a window and said, "Look out, what do you see?" And he saw men and women and children out there playing. He said, "Look through that window, that's what you see." And then he took him over to a mirror and he said, "Look into the mirror, what do you see?" And he said, "I see only myself. I see only myself." And the psychiatrist said, "Both are windows. Both are mere pieces of glass. The difference in the mirror is behind the glass, there is a layer of silver. When silver is added, you cease to see others. You see only yourself. Whenever your devotion is to money and material things alone, you become self-centered. You, in essence, deny God's intention for your life. It is also a denial of Christ. For Jesus came into the world so that we might be in union with God and that we might work and use what we have to win others to God in Christ. If we work only for and believe only in the power of money above all, then we have some work to do. Some work to do on our hearts and souls. God's love and forgiveness and grace is the true wealth that we have. It is the true wealth that we can use to make a lasting difference in our lives and in the lives of others. It is where true power lies. Amen. Please stand. Now receive this blessing, a blessing of the full knowledge of the love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. and the comfort and the guidance and the wisdom that is here even in this moment through the Holy Spirit. You have been blessed. Be a blessing in Christ's name. Amen.